and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy to have you here with us tonight and to have our special guest, Jan Bedell. She has been on our show many times, and Jan is a dear friend and also the chair of the Sped Homeschool Board, as well as being the president of Little Giant Steps, and which we're going to talk a lot about tonight. Just thank you, Jan, for taking time out of your schedule and being with us here tonight.
Well, it's great to be able to make it.
Yeah, we may seem a little rushed because we just got this to work, and so yeah. So we're kind of pulling everything together right now, but that's okay. We've both done this before, so we should be fine. So thanks for joining us, everyone, and just know that if you are joining us live, that you can pop in, ask questions, and make comments, and we are happy to take those. Just put them in the feed. And we do thank you for those of you that are joining on our podcast or on our YouTube channel. We broadcast this in other places as well. So if you want to watch past episodes, you can always catch us in those places too, and catch up with the other topics that we've talked about. And Jan has a couple of videos on there as well. So tonight we're going to talk about neurodevelopmental testing, and it's different than other testing. And so I think a lot of parents go, well, how will that help me? You know, what is it all about? And so we're going to kind of go through all of that. And I just want to thank you, Jan, for walking us through that. You have a lot of experience in this, but can you share with us a little bit about Little Giant Steps and kind of how this journey got started for you, and just why you're so passionate about it?
Okay, well, my main reason for being passionate is because it helped me. I had a child that had some severe issues, and I had tried public school, private school, and back then when she was younger, homeschool, I had not even heard of it, to tell you the truth. So I moved to Dallas when she was 9, and had a real need because I didn't know what to do. She'd been in a private school and didn't have that support here. And then I had homeschooled her for 5 years with the traditional approach because I was a certified teacher. So, what else do you do, right?
Right, exactly. So
when I found this, I was really what I call a desperate woman because what I was doing wasn't working. And she was about at the first grade in math and reading and was having a lot of trouble functioning in many areas of her life. And this just changed her life. And when I saw what was happening for her, and then I started volunteering and saw what was happening for kids with ADD and dyslexia and all these other challenges that I had been educated on that were just horrible and there's nothing you can do but cope and compensating. When I saw that change, I just jumped on board, and 25 years later, here I am still trying to put out the word about hope and help.
Still helping parents, and and when it comes from our heart like that, you just have a passion to keep giving because you know it. And I mean, you've seen so many families' lives changed. I know I've heard the stories, and that just has to fuel you to keep going. And that's exciting. Oh,
yes, I hide these little notes that I get from time to time, and I call them God kisses because when I run across them again, I just go, oh yes, this is why I'm doing what I do.
Yes, that's great. Yep, definitely. We have to sometimes be reminded of that, but we just love our community and all these parents who are struggling, and we want them to struggle less. And so that's kind of what we're talking about tonight. And just, how I think we often look at testing from the point of view in many states, it's required. And so parents do the required testing, which is not neurodevelopmental testing. It's a norm reference-based test, and it tells you a little bit of information, which we talked about last week. And if you want to watch our video last week or listen to our podcast last week about norm reference tests, that's wonderful. But we're going to be talking about a different type of test. So what is a neurodevelopmental evaluation?
Well, it's something that I had never been through with my daughter. I'd gone to lots of testing and different professionals for their evaluations and things. But basically, in a nutshell, what we do is some academic testing. We test math, reading recognition, and comprehension. And that's mainly why the reason that we do that is to track their progress. Because that's really encouraging to see those numbers go up.
Exactly. Yes. And
But
for
then,
that student too, not compared to
yeah.
everybody else.
Right, exactly. You're just moving against yourself and as far as improvement. And but the main part of the evaluation is the developmental profile that we use. So I'm a neurodevelopmentalist, and we look at six different areas of development. So three areas of input to the brain that if you know it in different terms probably because it's tactile, auditory, and visual, you know, where we get our learning styles, that's how the information comes into the brain. So we look at those channels and see how they're working. And then we look at the output, which is the manual and the mobility and the language. So, and then we also see where those glitches are that are causing children to have inefficiencies in those areas. And what I found with my daughter, you know, she was going to speech therapy to increase her sentence length. And what was really happening is her processing was so low, she couldn't hold pieces together long enough to get a longer sentence out. So it's more of looking for the root causes of the challenges. So that's the evaluation part.
Now you had a website. I wanted to put that up and then also show that screen. Do you want to talk a little bit about what this is on your website? This specific link. It's individual evaluation. So that's about the evaluation, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and so that will walk you through the process of if you want to have an in-person evaluation. It has someone that has had one, and what her process was is thinking through and just the different steps. We like for everyone to watch a neurodevelopmental DVD. It's a 2-hour seminar, and when you watch that, you just get the terminology. And then you also see if it makes sense to you. You know, you don't want to do anything that doesn't make sense. So it's also kind of the orientation so that when we have the evaluation, the first part of the evaluation is me or another neurodevelopmentalist working with the child individually. And then the second part is the parent consult. And the parents, as you know, you are the expert on your child.
Oh,
You know,
yes.
you know them the best. So that kind of information is vital to someone like me that would be writing an individualized plan to help that child and that family know what to do to fix some of those glitches that are going on.
It's a partnership, and I think we often talk about that when we tell parents, you know, when they're working with the various professionals and therapists and tutors, is this is your team, and you have to view these people as your helpers in educating your child, because we don't know everything, but if we got a big enough team, or you know, a team that we can rely on, it makes a world of difference for us and our children.
It really does because you know any evaluation is going to be a snapshot of that particular child on that day in those circumstances, and some of them, you know, that often affects children, those kinds of things.
So true. Yes. And we as a parent will know if they're off that
Exactly.
day from the moment they get up that
Right. And you
So.
can confirm to the evaluator if those observations are correct or if they're an isolated event. You know, and some things are just different in groups and in other situations than they are in a one-on-one even.
So we're talking about, you know, what's involved with the test. Is there anything else as that a parent should know as far as what would be involved for themselves and their child through the testing process?
Well, the interesting thing about this kind of approach is that we don't test to give you a sure enough there's a problem kind of answer, and some vague coping and compensating kind of things. We give you a specific list of activities that takes all the guesswork out of it. And so you can have as little as an after-school program that's just neurodevelopment to a full curriculum based. So then sometimes people have curriculum that they just love, and we're able to go, okay, this part of it is okay for right now, and this part probably needs to wait a little while till we get this fixed, and then other things could be done, but just in a little bit different way. So kind of that kind of guidance is what you
have those eyes and ears looking from the perspective of what the child is struggling with and looking at the curriculum and kind of pairing up that information. That's a great perspective to have coming into you, helping you figure out and make the strain less in your homeschool. I think we often push our kids into those situations, like you were talking about your daughter and her not being able to string, you know, the sentences together. You could be beating your head against the wall after a while with that kind of, you know, lack of success and not realizing what was causing that. And so
That's just one example. Another one that I had with my daughter was that she, a lot of people are familiar with proprioception, where you are in space. And she had a severe issue with that. And I thought she was just kind of sloughing off and not really working hard when I tried to get her to fold towels. Well, seriously, the child could not fold a towel. It was just a mangled mess every time. Until we got those pathways working better from her brain to her hand. And then she was able to move through and put the corners together and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I kind of sometimes think, well, I could have just tried to teach her to fold towels till the cows came home. And
exactly.
Never would have been able to do it until those connections were made. So sometimes we expect function from children that really they don't have the foundation of that neural pathways to make it happen.
And we sometimes globally like label them. So, well, they can do this, so why can't they do that? And and you know, we forget that there are those gates, those struggles that they have in certain areas. And that can just affect one little area of their life. And we do, we call them lazy. I've done it myself with my own children and went, oh, they really can't do this. Then you feel guilty about it. So,
right.
I
think that maybe one of the most unique things about the neurodevelopmental approach is it just caused me to think differently. Like you said, it's not based on, I mean, I've had parents think that their child was lazy and careless and just all kinds of bad things. And they were on him all the time when his central vision wasn't working. And so he would miss the plus and the multiplication sign or think it was multiplication when it was adding and do kind of what they call careless errors. But it was really because he wasn't functioning well in that area. So it really helps you look at your children differently and think differently about what's going on with them.
Yeah, definitely.
And that really helps the family dynamics.
Oh, yes, definitely. Lots of more caring and patience. And I can see, you know, all of that being much easier to dish out. And when you have better understanding and wisdom, it's we can look back and say, oh yeah, but better to go ahead with some information and definitely why this test can be very helpful. So,
well, I do have something. I think I listed it right at the bottom of the links. It's a auditory test kit to test for short-term memory.
Yes.
I think it's at the very bottom. So that's something that really can help you think differently about your child, especially if they're just having trouble staying on task and focusing, and you just don't understand why they're not following directions the way they should, and you can't figure out why they don't act age appropriate. Those kinds of things come from low auditory processing. So I've got this page that you're showing here is a good overview of what auditory processing is. If you're not familiar with it, I used to call it the best kept secret in education. But now it's gotten so bad in our society that there's all kinds of labels associated with it. But I think this one thing is combined in so many different labels that this is the root of many of the functional things, like in ADD and ADHD. So there's a free test kit here on the website that they can download, and they can get those instructions and actually test their children at home for that particular thing. And it's really an easy fix, and globally will help the child better.
Yeah. So those of you that are listening on our podcast, it's littlegiantsteps.com/auditory-processing. And so that's on Jan's website. You can find it there. And then if you also watch our YouTube video, all those links will be on there, as well as I'm going to post all these links on the feed after we're done as well. So you can just click them and you don't have to try to type them all in for yourself. But so we have a question, Jan. Are you okay jumping to that before we head on?
Sure.
Amy had asked, our OT mentioned some primitive reflexes that are still active in our 7.5-year-old who has ASD and sensory issues. Is this something that you address?
Yes, and that's interesting that you mentioned the primitive reflexes, because that's become a real thing recently. When I first started, we didn't have much of talk about primitive reflexes. But what we found, I mean, we do address those specifically as needed. But you know what we found out is if we really take the children through all the developmental steps that we take them through with this kind of program, those reflexes just integrate like they normally do, you know, in typical developing kids. So oftentimes we don't have to do a lot of reflex work just because we've gone through all of those steps.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you for asking that, Amy. That's good information.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah. So so what other information are parents able to get from a neuro evaluation?
Well, one thing that's a little bit different probably too than just the one-stop get a label kind of evaluation is that, it's really true. We follow the family through the process. So, and it is a process. You have to go to the lower level parts of the brain and then get that organized and stimulated and build those connections and keep moving up toward the cortex so the thinking is better. So every 4 months we do reevaluations. Okay. So we recheck the academics and see what the progress is there. And if there's not an IQ issue, they typically come up about a year every 4 months in math and reading. The children that have a little lower IQ, obviously that progress can be slowed because of that. And so let's see what I was going to say. Oh, yes. What else they get during the 4 months that they're doing the program, we have support for them, whether it's, just moral support or I'm having trouble doing this or my child doesn't understand why they have to do that. And whatever the issues are that come up, then we support during that time.
Right. Yeah. And that's helpful, because sometimes you might run into things and say, what am I seeing here? And how do those results that what we saw in the test, is it reflecting in what we're seeing? I think a lot of times, especially when I talk to parents after they have gotten the diagnoses, they're like, yeah, I got all the test results back and I have no idea what they mean and what to do with them. We just have this diagnosis. And so they're kind of left with this broad, you know, label for their child and nowhere to go with it. So by getting to the root and then having a team working with you constantly and helping to reevaluate, that it does allow a different perspective to be able to make it useful information instead of just the label. So,
yes, yeah. And that's what's really thrilling. Not only do we get to help walk them through, we get to see what happens mm-hmm. to the child. You know, just their countenance changes. They feel more confident. I had one child that came after a few. Well, it was about a year and a half, and he said, "I'm going home and telling my dad I'm cured of dyslexia."
Oh,
and it was really true. He didn't have the symptoms mm-hmm. that he did. And I think if he had been tested again at the end of that, then he wouldn't have been had that label. So mm-hmm. it's really interesting how these symptoms that get them labels, they're caused by something in the brain, and they can really be reversed if you mm-hmm. Do the right kind of stimulation.
Right. That's great. So anything else as far as what parents can expect to get from the evaluation, or have we kind of covered that?
I think pretty much, well, the in-person evaluation is very individualized, and that happens in, you know, just a few locations here in Texas through our organization. That's in Austin area, in Houston, north, a little north of Houston in Conroe. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you used to hail from.
I used to live, yes.
And in the DFW area, north part of the DFW area is where our branches are located. But it's interesting because I just had a conversation with someone in the Philippines mm-hmm. that we're going to be able to help too. The training for all the activities are on the website, and we can either do video evaluation type interaction, or we've got several different things that can help individualize. One of them is just from a history form. We have a very extensive history form, and based on the 25 years of seeing those symptoms over and over again, mm-hmm. and what we've done to help eradicate those things, right. we can do an individualized program just from the history form to kind of get started. And mm-hmm. then some people, if they can, if they're not halfway around the world, they can arrange to come, you know, in the next 4 months, or like I said, do a video evaluation or something like that. So mm-hmm. it's really the technology these days has made it possible for us to really be able to help people pretty much anywhere.
Mm. That's amazing. And yes, technology has allowed us to be able to reach out a lot more. And mm-hmm. and it's nice. I mean, like you say, you've been doing this long enough that you know when a question is answered a specific way that it's a flag. And
right.
and that makes it helpful. So, so yeah. But so, how would this the information parents get from a neuro evaluation help for day to day teaching? You know, just in the application of how do I apply what you've given me now to change up what we're doing to make it more effective?
Well. There's a lot of different ways. One that I think of just right off is math, for instance. We really want parents to be involved in that math process and actually demonstrate with very few words, because we feel like that math operations are visual. So yeah. if you can take that in visually, even if you think you have a tactile learner or an auditory learner, if you can help the child fix those glitches in the visual and take that information in that way, it's more efficient. Right. So there's certain things that come in better visually, and so they ought to be taught that way, in my opinion. And there's some things that are better come in auditorily, and you want to teach that way. Well, if you have this broader view of neurodevelopment and fix what those things are, like if they're hypersensitive, maybe they don't like to sound. Maybe they're not an auditory learner because they don't like to listen. You know, it hurts.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so if you can do some activities, stimulate the trigeminal nerve and give some stimulation through music and different things like that, sometimes sound therapy, but sometimes we can just use regular music and fix those kinds of things, then they can take things in auditorily. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kind of things we guide people through. The math is really a biggie for me as far as being involved with them for short periods of time instead of this sit at the desk and come in and say, why aren't you working? Why aren't you working? You sit down with them and you add some intensity to the whole session by you do a problem and they're watching, and then they do a problem, and then after you do that for a while, you really do get more competency. A lot of times, the curriculum has a lot of output. Most curriculums are output-based. Yes. They want you to fill in the blank.
Right. But there's not a whole lot of instruction on the front end, which is what the children need over and over and over again.
Yes. And so we have this philosophy of frequently giving information, intensely, which can be short periods of time, and then over time, repeating it, you know, real often. So instead of doing 15 problems that are addition, if they're on subtraction, do 2 addition and several subtraction. Mm-hmm. And then when you're on multiplication, do some addition and some subtraction, and then do mostly multiplication, but always have that in front of them so they don't forget those other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cyclical learning, that coming back and making sure that they're not forgetting the other things, and instead of just hopping from one thing to another. Yeah.
So that's how I created. I never envisioned myself years ago being a curriculum developer, but had such a passion for neurodevelopment, and realized that after being involved with my grandchildren from the time they were born and seeing this development actually happen the way it's supposed to, and then being encouraged by this approach, that I just put it in a curriculum. So our Early Learning Foundations is a curriculum for preschool or kindergarten or up through second grade as far as math. And it's a neurodevelopmental program that includes math up through that level. And we built all this in to those programs where instead of holding up a card that has a 5 on it and saying, what's this? We do a flash to them of 0 to 5 maybe for a minute. And we're telling them 2, 3, 9, 4, 0. You know, out of order, because we're not counting. We're doing number recognition, actually. So it's just those kinds of examples of either math facts are done like that, the all the different, the number words and all the different things are input based. So you're inputting the information, and then on the workbook, that's when they can show how they can do it, because you've done all of the input that they need.
So I have up on the screen your Early Learning Foundations part of your website.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the link is down below for those of you listening. It's littlegiantsteps.com/ELF. So short for Early Learning Foundations. So
yeah.
Yeah. And we did a video on that specific method. I think if you look on our YouTube channel, you'll see Jan demonstrating it. I think I even did a short video of that clip, just of that,
okay,
that concept of teaching letter or number recognition. Because yeah, that is important, not just to count, but just to get them to recognize those symbols that you're
right.
talking.
So you've got the symbols, you've got the counting, and then you've got the one-to-one correspondence. Where can you count accurately? And then what? Then you move from that to what is addition, what is subtraction?
Right.
And we use visual math because we believe that is the way that that information comes in. So you can use manipulatives, that's visual. Mm-hmm. And you can also use circles that they always have with them because they have the pencil and paper with them.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Exactly. So we have another question. Okay, with me heading that what direction for a while?
Sure.
Okay. Becky asked, do you go into schools and how would you go about integrating the program into a school?
Okay, well, our developmental foundations is something that we use from 7-year-olds and up. That's kind of a generic, everybody needs these kind of activities for a good functioning brain. We took those basic activities and we went into a school in Texas that was at the bottom of the rung. They were unacceptable in their rating on their test. And they'd been working on it a couple of years to try to get that up. And they were making a little bit of progress. They had changed some curriculum. They changed some techniques. But when we brought in helping their short-term memory, working on their math facts with a specific product that we call rapid recall, where the child sees, hears, says, and writes 5 math facts 14 times in a day. And you think, oh, how could they do that? It only takes 6 minutes to do that. Because everything is going in except for 2. And then, you know, they're successful once they've had,
right.
had that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we put the rapid recall in there. And then in their PE, the neurodevelopmental. And
okay. They
actually went to exemplary on their testing that year, at the end of that year, which was really exciting. No,
it was the whole program.
Yeah, and the processing, the auditory and visual processing, the short-term memory, we worked on that with the in the computer lab. So that was another way we could integrate it in a big group. And we've had that experience. The challenge in the school is teachers are pretty set in their ways, especially if they've been teaching a long time, and they don't appreciate people coming in and telling them different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be slow in coming. And then, you know, after all that success, they just kind of drop the program.
Oh.
And so you just, because the next shiny thing, I guess, came along. And so they went that direction. We did have a teacher that was in, she was a first grade teacher. She had taught for 17 years, and in her 18th year, she added these things, basic things like the rapid recall and the just doing math with more input. And she said, I've never had first graders ask for math homework before in 18 years. They would ask, and I was actually there that day when they asked for more math during class because they had already done this one part.
Mm-hmm.
And they were finishing up this one aspect of rapid recall. And they said, can we do this part? And they just flipped it over and just started, you know, writing their answer. Because they were successful.
Right. Yes.
It was a whole different ballgame.
Definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she said that she put the movements and things in there too. And so she worked on their processing and did movements to help organize their brain. And she said she couldn't believe they were safer on the playground. They made better decisions. I mean, she just had, she said even the struggling kids did better than she's ever seen before. So that was real encouraging too. So it does work. It's just a lot of work to make it happen.
Right. Yeah. So Becky, I would just, my advice to you would be to connect with Jan. If you have a specific situation and talk to her about her different programs, it sounds like, you know, you can custom use specific things that may be best in whatever, you know, if you're doing a cottage school or something, that you're looking to integrate some neurodevelopmental, strategies to help students, that would be the best way to go. So, yeah, good question. Very good. Because I think we are starting to do these small schools, and I know you're working on a project to start a school as well. Do you want to deviate on that just a little bit?
Okay. Well, first we're opening a neurodevelopmental center in McKinney area, because there are people like probably that are on here that homeschool that are already in that bent. And they want to just be equipped at home. And we still have, we'll still have our partner programs, because that's just the core of what we do is equipping parents. Right. But the other thing we're going to do is have a center. So actually, I guess for some, it could be a respite kind of situation, just taking some of the pressure off of them always having to do everything for the child as far as the therapy and the school and everything. And then some people are just going to want that kind of help instead of some of the other learning centers that just teach coping and compensating. So we're going to have a brain training center. We're going to have brain coaches that will work with the children with these different neurodevelopmental activities and help their brain. So we've just seen that when your brain works better, everything functions better. I mean, we had one individual that did the developmental foundations, and he was 17, and he really wanted to go to college, but he scored a 14 on his ACT.
Oh, wow.
And he couldn't go to college with that. Well, he had 3.5 months before he had to take the test again, because he really wanted to go that next semester, and he scored a 20. So from a 14 to a 20 with just doing developmental foundations during that 3.5 months. So when your brain works better, it's kind of like being hooked up to high-speed internet instead of dial-up. And one thing that you can encourage people with is that the kids often think that they're not very smart, especially the really smart kids. They think, I'm not really very smart, or I wouldn't be having this trouble. But what we can tell them is, oh, your brain's just tricking you right now. And so you can, we can fix that tricky brain, and all that smart stuff can come out. That's
right. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So I have Jan's that developmental foundations page. Again, it's littlegiantsteps.com/DF. For developmental foundations, and the screen is up above us, so you can kind of see what that looks like. A comment that Bobby made too is that there are university model schools that use ELF and rapid recall, and I'm sure if you're looking for one near you, Jan or Bobby, who works for her, can get you guys connected with that. So.
Yes, it's, we do have some university model schools that are very sold on the whole aspect, and their upper school is just really benefiting from them using this with the little guys. They use it in preschool, kinder, and first grade, and they're just having a lot more success. And you know, just as far as the math facts, if you have, if your math facts are good, you just move through math so much easier. It's just faster. It's not a chore. And you have some success instead of just sitting there going, or counting on your fingers, which is a bad habit that many adults still have because they never learn their math.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, you make a point. So, you know, most of these schools, they don't know if the children have learning struggles or not. They're being preventative by using this method, and so that the kids are prepared for the university model classes afterwards that are going to use a lot of these skills, these memorization skills and other things. And hopefully those gaps will have been mitigated without them even really showing themselves to the point where the child is so struggling that they do get labeled.
Right. So I call that the Early Learning Foundations the insurance policy against learning challenges. Mm-hmm. So for the typical child, and then something that can bring them up quickly and help repair those things that didn't quite go like they were supposed to during the development for those that have more issues.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So we talked a little bit about where parents can go here in Texas. There's three places, and like you said, Austin, Conroe, and up by the Dallas area, the north side where you're based. What if they live somewhere else and want to get an in-person evaluation? Is that possible to do?
Yes. I mean, I've seen some really dedicated people from all over. Somebody just flew in from Montana this week to see me, and she had seen me at a conference a few years ago. And oftentimes people just, they kind of know there's an issue and they have learned about this, but they just go, well, maybe they'll outgrow it. I mean, that's what a lot of people think. And sometimes they do, but sometimes it's just like it gets to the point of, oh, I've got to do something now. Mm-hmm. And so this particular child was actually using the wrong hand. He was doing everything left-handed except right. And he was really a left-handed person, so we've got to switch him over to writing with his left hand. And I think there were some other issues as well, but that is was a real big one for him. Now, some people hear that and they go, oh, maybe my child's using the wrong hand. It is genetic. So if there's no left-handed people in your family, probably not, but it can be an issue. So that's another thing that the neurodevelopmental approach does, is just look for where is the foundation. You know, is the, if you're going against the genetic grain, as in using the wrong hand, it can cause a lot of issues. Right. But there's other things that are not as involved as using the wrong hand. Mm. That's probably a small percentage of the children that are struggling.
Yeah. So do you have any testing that's coming up? I know you sometimes do testing on site when you speak at conferences too. Is there anything that parents can know about in the upcoming, on your schedule?
Well, we've had to kind of take a step back from as many. Last year we did 9 conferences, and we're opening the center, so we're pretty focused on all the details for that. So we're actually through with all of our conferences for the year, which is very unusual for us to be through this early. But there are screenings that we have in the Dallas area. And like I said, there's several different programs. Like, we have an advanced brain training program, and that's for 7-year-olds and older. And that is something that you start out with the history form, and we do an individualized program like we do with the in-person. And sometimes, you know, those basic things you can get out of the way with that and then not have to travel so often. And then you can do things like video evaluations, and at least once a year, we really like to see the child in person, just to make sure, because sometimes there's eye issues as far as the eyes working together, tracking correctly, converging, that kind of thing, that is more challenging to do in other ways than in person. So we like to just double check those things for sure and fine tune.
Definitely. So we've covered a lot of pages on your website. I know there's one that we haven't talked about yet, and that's your advanced brain training page. So
that's the one I was just talking about, where if you have a 7-year-old or older, then you would fill out a detailed history form, and we do write an individualized program. But with this one, which is different than the ones for the younger children, with this one, we actually have you do some academic testing. So we can also guide you in those areas. You know, if the child is having trouble with reading or math, we can make suggestions for that as well, just based on what we see in those tests that we made up to know where they are. And then the for the younger ones, we call it the jump start. So this one is the Little Giant Steps /ABT for advanced brain training. We just shortened that. And that's for the little bit older. And then the 0 to 6, we call this the jump start. Okay. So again, individualized based on the answers we get from the history form that are those common things that we know to start with. And we've seen some really good things from that. And I've been surprised even at the Early Learning Foundations that we talked about earlier. I had one little guy that the parents filled out a history form and they were going to have an evaluation, and they decided they'd do Early Learning Foundations for a little while first and just kind of get a feel for it. And then when he came in 6 months after they had started that, I did not see a lot of the things I expected to see based on the history form. And when I had the opportunity to visit with them, they said, oh yeah, he used to do that, but he doesn't do that anymore. He used to do that, but he doesn't do that anymore. So I was really excited and a little bit surprised at how just the basic things that were in Early Learning Foundations, it's just like what everybody needs, was making that much of a difference. And then they came to fine tune. So there's a variety. I think a lot of people that have children with Down syndrome are being real successful with the Early Learning Foundations. And there's a few things that, you know, there's no perfect curriculum, not even mine.
Because you don't know all children. You've not met them all yet.
No. I found that they're all different as well.
Yes. That's why we have these videos for you parents, by the way, is that everything requires tweaking.
Exactly.
We just have to learn more and understand more. Yes.
So there's some things in there that some people get bogged down in, and you think, and I want to encourage everybody with whatever curriculum you're working with, there may be concepts, math concepts especially, that the child is just not quite ready for. And you just present it a different way. And let me just give you an example. Do we have time for that?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the activities that's often a struggle for children with cognitive challenges, is the sequencing. So on the paper, it will say, you know, a horse and a car and a horse and a car and a horse and a car, and it leaves a blank. Well, a lot of people get caught up and think, I can't move ahead because they don't get that. And so I say, just take that to a physical thing, like a spoon and a fork, a spoon and a fork, a spoon and a fork. And you just go back over that. And then you have a spoon and a fork and say, which one goes next? And those kinds of things. And then even if they can't do that, then skip that part. You know, that's not the end all to keep you from making progress in other areas. So anytime you run across that in a curriculum, don't feel like you have to stop dead in your tracks to until the child gets that particular thing. It's just just keep going on and coming back to that, or try it a different way, like I said, with manipulatives or some other resource.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes it just takes time. Cognitively, their brain just isn't ready for, and math is so much like that. And math has so many different parts to it. You know, math is not only computation and, you know, memorizing the facts, but it's also abstract thinking. And, you know, there's so many other things involved in it that, yeah, it's, we can focus on the one area and then let them progress in the areas that they are excelling in.
So, right. Definitely. You've got time and measurement of all kinds. And
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're just a hands-on kid that needs to go measure things. Yes.
Exactly.
So before we are done, I want to make sure that our audience knows about your other resources. You have a YouTube channel. It's called Brain Coach Tips.
I'm going
to bring that up real quick. And so you can definitely search for that on YouTube. And you've got quite a few videos there that parents can dig through, find out more information about neurodevelopmental teaching and concepts. And then you also have a podcast. And I'll bring up that and also the website.
So braincoachtips.com will take you right to that page. It is on our website. But braincoachtips.com will just take you right to that source for the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yes, I've tried to put out information. So if you're just on the go, you can listen. Or if you're more of a visual learner, you can see some of the PowerPoints that go with the audio. And I think there's about 60 or so of the podcasts and maybe 50-ish the YouTube channel. And we're adding as we can to that. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yes. I mean, we find that the podcasts especially, I think parents just love to be able to download them and listen to them when they're making dinner and other things. And that's what we've been told by our audiences. Oh, it's so nice. We can just throw this in and listen to it when we're on the go and not have to worry about having an internet connection or anything. So, that's definitely a great way to get information. And so definitely check out Jan's podcast and dive into learning more about what she knows. Lots of years of information and lots wealth of wisdom. I'll just let you know that. And it's just every time I talk to you, I learn something new. So
thank you. I'm honored. I believe this is the ripple effect of my daughter's life that had issues and had help and started me on this journey. And she went on ahead of me to be with the Lord and look forward to seeing her whole in one of these days. But for now, I've got some work to do spreading the good news about what she was able to help me find. And I'm just so thrilled to be part of SPED Homeschool and all of the resources that are being provided there. And it's just, I guess it's something that whose time has come, you know? There's things all over the place. And now to gather all this information like you have and had the support from your team, I'm just really have to applaud you for all the work you've done. And it's going to make it is making a big difference.
Yeah. Getting people to work together. That's our goal is we want everyone to come together and I'm not an expert in everything. That's why I interview people like you and, you know, everybody that I have for guests on this show and our partner organizations. They are doing the work, and we just want parents to connect with the best resources and learn the best information. And so that's why we are here, because you don't have time to do that. You need to teach your children, and you need the resources at your fingertips. And so we're happy to do that, because I wish I would have had this when I was homeschooling my struggling learners. So they are what fuels me. So definitely. So thank you again, Jan. Just You're appreciate welcome. You sharing. And I'm sure this won't be the last time you're on. We'll have to schedule you again sometime. So thank you all of you for joining us. So next week is our last week in talking about evaluations, and we are going to talk about how to track homeschool data and IEP goals with Nikoti Keating. He is an autism dad, and he created a device called MyTapTrack. He is the CEO and founder of MyTapTrack, and he's going to talk a little bit about that and his innovative way of tracking data that really requires hardly any work on your end, which is amazing. So I'm excited to introduce that to our audience. Some of the schools have been using he's just very excited to be talking to homeschoolers about what he's invented and how useful it can be for us too. So, all right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Thanks again, Jan. And thank you to the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America for partially funding our broadcast. And for viewers like you who donate to SPED Homeschool, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we appreciate your donations to keep us going. And so we'll see you next week. Or if you want to keep the conversation going, you can join us on our support group on Facebook, where we are constantly talking about homeschooling and special education and just the questions that you have and you bring and the things that we decide we want to discuss for that day. So we'll see you all there, or we'll see you here again next week. Bye, everybody. Thanks again.
Bye. Thanks for having me.